There are countless situations in our world that cry out for a compassionate response from us. And we've seen that in the last week with what's happened in Haiti and with the Afghan refugees, all the people who are trying to flee that country. But when we talk about compassion, what do we mean? What does compassion really look like? Well, to help us reflect on this, I've selected a passage of scripture from the Gospel of Mark. And this passage begins with the disciples having just returned from their first missionary journey. And they were exhausted. And now Jesus was aware of their need, and he attempted to take them away to a quiet place where they would get some R&R. But everywhere he turned, Jesus found needy people seeking his help. And surprisingly, he didn't get irritated by this. He didn't get irritated by all those interruptions. He didn't tell people to go away. Instead, he had compassion for them. And he was so moved by what he saw that he had to do something. So let's listen now to our scripture passage. I'll read verses 30 through 34 and then 53 through 56. I invite you to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 6 and follow along as I read. The words will also be on the screen. Again, this is Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 34 and then 53 through 56. Let's listen now to these words. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And then we turn over to verse 53. And what happens in between? Jesus feeds the 5,000 and walks on water. And then in verse 53 it says, "When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed." Amen. The spring and the summer of 1994 was a season of great horror and bloodshed in Rwanda. If you lived during that time, you may have remembered that hundreds of thousands of people were murdered by soldiers and militias from rival ethnic groups. The global community was aware of this atrocity, but sadly, there wasn't much of a response. A psychologist named Paul Slovak was puzzled by all of that apathy, so he began conducting some experiments to better understand people's reaction to mass suffering and death. And what he discovered was deeply troubling to him. Now, in one of his studies, his researchers showed a picture of a 7-year-old girl who was dying of starvation and asked for help. Next, they showed a picture of 2 starving children. And then they followed up by showing a photo of an even larger group of starving children. Slovak found that people's concern and sorrow did not grow with the number of children in danger, but it actually shrank. When he was interviewed about this research, he said, and I'll quote for you, "The more who die, the less we care. The more who die, the less we care. It seems that in great numbers, death becomes impersonal, and people feel increasingly hopeless that their actions can make any difference at all. Now, I'm concerned that it's easy to become detached from the suffering that we see on the news or read about in social media. Those who are poor or sick or hungry or even killed in a mass shooting become just another statistic. And for that reason, we have to be very careful that we don't lose our compassion for those who are hurting. Now, the word compassion is an extremely important word in Scripture. If you trace the history of this word back to its Latin roots, it means suffering with. And that's what Jesus did. He showed compassion toward the people around him by suffering with them. And this is evident in our scripture passage. Now, Jesus and the disciples had been traveling around the countryside, casting out demons and curing the sick. They were working so hard that they didn't have time to rest or even grab a bite to eat. And so Jesus ordered them to take a break. They loaded up on a boat and set off for a deserted place. And we'd all would imagine that they were super excited to finally get some time off for some rest and relaxation. But their plans were quickly changed when a crowd of needy people spotted them from the shore, and then they followed the boat and met them where they were traveling. Now, Jesus must have been tired and worn out, just like his disciples. And yet, he somehow avoided being annoyed that his day off was being interrupted. And he wasn't irritated that those people couldn't take care of their own needs. He wasn't even frustrated by how great the needs were. Now, if that had been us, and if we had just gotten off from a long week's worth of work, we might have been annoyed. We might have been frustrated. We might have been irritated. But not Jesus. He had compassion for them. He suffered with them. Now, we gain a deeper appreciation of Jesus' response by looking at the Greek word for compassion. And remember, the Gospel of Mark was originally written in Greek. And the Greek word for compassion is splagnesomai. It's a pretty harsh-sounding word. And it really is more graphic than the Latin word for compassion. You see, it means to be moved by something so strongly that you feel it deep down in your stomach, deep down in your gut. Jesus combined an awareness of the troubles that he saw in other people with a desire to alleviate those troubles. He felt compassion, not just in his heart, but also deep within his gut. The Gospel of Mark tells us in verse 34 that Jesus had compassion because the people were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. In other words, Jesus became their good shepherd, and he even invited the people to sit down in groups on the green grass, as verse 39 puts it, and he would go on to feed that group of 5,000. This echoes back to Psalm 23, which describes the Lord as a shepherd who makes his sheep lie down in green pastures. Now, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and Isaiah also spoke of the Good Shepherd. And they describe this Good Shepherd as one who teaches his people, feeds them, and heals them. Isaiah 40, verse 11 says, "He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom." Now, the good news for us is that the good shepherd has come to us in Jesus Christ. And we live out this good news by living like Jesus, by living with compassion. But this does raise some questions for us to answer. Do we have the compassion of Jesus? And are we willing to suffer with those who are hurting? And do we feel this compassion deep down within our gut? There is a lot of pain and hurt in our world. We see it in Haiti and Afghanistan, as I've already mentioned. It's also right here in our own country. There are 35 million Americans who don't have enough food to meet their needs. In 2019, over 13 million American households experienced food insecurity. And that problem was only made worse by the pandemic. And tragically, households with children are more likely to face hunger than households without children. We see this right here in our own county, in Wake County, where the poverty rate hovers somewhere between 9 and 10%. A significant number of those people have children. Now, nearly one-third of the children in Wake County public schools are enrolled in the free and reduced lunch program. And nearly 25% of the students right across the street at Fred Olds Elementary School are enrolled in this program. And this just shows us that poverty and hunger are all around us. Now, you know what Jesus did when he faced hungry people? He fed them. See, the only miracle that Jesus performed in all four Gospels is the feeding of hungry people. Jesus paid attention to people in need, and he always did something about it. He felt compassion deep down in his gut, and he acted on it. Now, during the worst days of the pandemic, I noticed that people repurposed the little free libraries that you find in neighborhoods all around our city. Those are the house-shaped boxes that people fill with books that people can borrow. And there's one just outside our church, and I've got it pictured here on the screen. Last year, some of those libraries were turned into little food pantries with non-perishable food for hungry neighbors to take. Canned goods were picked up by those who needed it and then replenished by caring people who kept their eyes on these little pantries. And it's people like this who act with the compassion of Jesus. Now, Jesus practiced compassion by not only feeding people, but by also healing them. After he fed the 5,000, he and his disciples jumped back into their boat, and they traveled across the Sea of Galilee to a place called Gennesaret. Now, people quickly recognized Jesus, and they brought to him all those who were sick. And everywhere he went, from villages to cities to farms, the sick begged to touch the fringe of his cloak. And this included the rich and the poor, adults and children, the deserving and the undeserving. And Mark tells us that all those who touched his cloak were healed, no matter who they were. Now, how do we Christians participate in Jesus' work of healing in our world today? Well, I think we see a glimpse of this through free medical clinics like the Open Door Clinic run by the Urban Ministries of Wake County. They provide primary care to adults who don't have health insurance. Volunteer doctors, physician assistants, and nurse practitioners work together to provide medical care for people in need. And there are similar clinics in cities all around our country which serve as a last resort for people who can't afford insurance or for those who don't qualify for Medicaid. And the free services vary from clinic to clinic, but they often range from having teeth pulled to getting your eyes checked to even offering mental health assistance. The focus in all of these clinics, though, is on helping people. It's about bringing healing and health to those who are sick and unwell. Now, Christians have been carrying out this kind of ministry for a long, long time. In fact, the very first hospitals in the world were started and run by Christians who are willing to suffer with their neighbors in need. And when we support free clinics and offer medical care to the poor, we're really choosing to suffer with them. We're sharing compassion with those in need. Now, Jesus suffered with, and he had compassion for the needy in his world, and we're called to live like him. We should share compassion with whomever we find in need, whether they're young or old, male or female, black or white, rich or poor, and even moral or immoral. See, living with compassion isn't about judging people. It's not about making decisions about how well and morally we think they're living their lives. See, compassion is about not just helping those who are like us, not those who just agree with us. It's about helping people in need. Now, Jesus paid attention to people in need, and he saw that they were like a sheep without a shepherd. And so he taught them, and he fed them, and he healed them. Jesus felt compassion deep within his gut, and he was moved to action, and he helped everyone. He didn't judge people. He didn't discriminate, and he didn't ask people why they needed help in the first place. And I think it's important for us to see this because there are some people who are quick to pass judgment on those who are homeless or poor or sick. But that's not our role. Instead, we're called to live more like Jesus and to have compassion for those who are hurting. And this is something we should feel so deeply in our guts that we are moved to action. Now, that might lead us to volunteer at the local food pantry or supply them with goods. We might also support a free medical clinic right here at home or even abroad. Our missionary partner in Haiti, Jenny Jenkins, is doing this very thing by running a medical clinic in a rural part of that country. Let's remember that Christian hospitals and clinics continue to be the primary source of health care in the poorest areas of the world. When Jesus traveled around, he always helped people. He shared compassion with them. He suffered with them. And he was moved to action, doing whatever he could to help them. Gospel of Mark tells us in verse 56 that as Jesus traveled around the Galilean region, people in need begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it, it says, were healed. Jesus healed people. He healed without judgment or discrimination. We are called to live like Jesus. We are called to help those who are suffering, hurting, and in need. Now, the needs in our world and even in this city are great, which is why we're called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We are to suffer with those who are hurting. So what should we do? Well, obviously, we should not ignore the suffering we see. We shouldn't look away and pretend it's not there. At the same time, we don't have to solve every problem and meet every need, and we can't even if we tried. But if every member of the body of Christ takes the initiative to do just one act of compassion every day, think how different our world might be. So I want you to do this. I want you to pay attention this week. Look for people who are hurting. Look for people who are in need and have compassion on them. Suffer with them. Be so moved by what you see, so moved that you feel it in your gut that you have to do something. That's the way Jesus lived. And that's the way we are called to live. Would you bow your heads and join me in prayer? Oh God, we thank you for the compassion you have shared with us through Jesus Christ. You meet us in our time of need and offer help. And you also call us to live with compassion. Help us to not turn away when we see people in need. May we have the strength of character to look into the faces of those who are suffering and to do something about it. Use us, Lord, to make a difference in a world filled with hurt and pain. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our band is going to lead us in some more music. And during this time, I will be in the back of the room. If any of you would like to come back to speak with me or to pray with me, I'll be available to you. This is also a time to make some decisions about how you feel God is working in your life. This might be a time to finally accept that call from God to begin that journey of discipleship. Might also be a time to accept the call that God's placed on your life to participate in a particular ministry or area of service. But I invite you to come and speak with me and pray with me in the back. But let's stand now, and our band will lead us in some music now.